Welcome to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. On each and every episode, Brian talks with coaches, athletes, and performers in all arenas who are putting into practice the principles of peak performance that will help you close the gap from where you are to where you want to be, to help you become a master of the mental game, and to help you start dominating the day.
Hey, this is Brian Kane, your peak performance and mental conditioning coach, and this morning we're here in Greenville, North Carolina with Cliff Godwin, head baseball coach of the East Carolina University Pirates. Coach Godwin, I appreciate you making time to sit down and talk with us here on the podcast about you, your program, and how you work the mental game here at East Carolina.
Kaner, thanks for having me, buddy.
Could you give our listeners your background and kind of how you got to where you are here at East Carolina? Because the background is quite impressive.
I was offered a scholarship to play baseball here at East Carolina back in the spring of 1996, and Coach Gary Overton gave me the opportunity to play baseball here at East Carolina, and that's where it kind of all started. Coach Overton gave me the opportunity, and then East Carolina hired a guy named by the name of Keith LeClaire, who became the head baseball coach at East Carolina. And from day one, he talked about Omaha and getting this program to Omaha. And, in 99, 2000, 2001, we were number one seeds in regionals, and we were very close. In 2001, we played in the first super regional of the program, and we're a number six national seed. And then, unfortunately, Coach LeClaire got diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease and was no longer able to coach, and is no longer with us, but his memory is with us. Once I got done with my playing career, I wanted to coach college baseball. I started out at Kinston High School as an assistant baseball coach back in the spring of 03. And Mark Scaff gave me an opportunity to coach in college. My first opportunity as a volunteer assistant at UNC Wilmington in the summer of 03 and then the spring of 04. And once I completed there, I went off to work with Tim Corbett at Vanderbilt as the director of baseball operations. Once again, a one-year stop, and then was hired by Paul Maneri as the hitting and catching coach at Notre Dame. Was there 1 year because Paul Maneri was hired as the head baseball coach at LSU. Was there 2 years. Got to turn the program back around. We won 23 games in a row in 2008 and went to Omaha. And took my career to the University of Central Florida with Terry Rooney. Terry Rooney was named the head baseball coach in the summer of 08. I went with him. Wanted to be kind of an offensive coordinator instead of a quarterback's coach and run the offense and be the recruiting coordinator. And did that in Florida for 3 years at the University of Central Florida. And my last stop before here was at Ole Miss for 3 years. And was a pleasure to work with Coach Mike Bianco for 3 years. And we got Ole Miss baseball program to Omaha this past year. Ole Miss hadn't been to Omaha in 42 years, and what quite a feat. And this job presented itself, and they actually flew out to Omaha and interviewed me before we played Virginia on Sunday night. Saturday morning at 7:30, had an interview out in Omaha. And, the reason I'm the head coach here, because the administration is committed for East Carolina baseball to winning at the highest level. And if they weren't, I wouldn't be here. And they really want this program to get to Omaha. It's never been there, and we're looking forward to that opportunity to take East Carolina baseball to Omaha.
In order to take East Carolina baseball to Omaha, as we're sitting here in your office, and I look, over your head, and there's a picture of Keith, of LeClaire Stadium, and it says three super regionals, 26 regional appearances, 23 conference championships, next stop, Omaha. And then right next to it, it talks about how life and baseball are a process, focus on getting 1% better each day. Execute the Pirates' mission. And in your press conference when you got hired here, we'll put a link on the podcast so that people can see this interview, you talk about the Pirates' mission and what that means. Could you review that and talk about that a little bit as a part of your philosophy in your program?
Well, you have to have a mission, core values for the team so they can live a lifestyle every day. I want our guys to understand what our mission is each and every day, not only on the baseball field, but in the classroom, in the community, in life. And, the Pirates acronym, P, stands for purpose. I want our guys to have a plan and a reason why they're doing every single thing they do. I is integrity, doing what is right all the time, even when no one's watching. It's very easy to do something right while, somebody's watching you, but making good choices when people aren't watching you. R, responsible. the power to choose your response in any situation. You know, we're our own person. We need to be educated on making right choices on off the field. You know, we are, as Pirates, role models. We're making an impression every second of every single day that we're walking around. So we need to make sure that we're making a good impression on people. A, attitude, be an energy giver. I want our guys to give energy. I want them to be in a positive mindset when they step on the field. Baseball life, it's very hard. It's a game of failure, and I want our guys to be in a positive mindset. T, toughness, the ability to embrace adversity and keep moving forward. You know, baseball knock you down, life will knock you down. You got to keep moving forward, and you got to embrace it. E, excellence, a lifestyle to be great. It's not just a light switch. It's a lifestyle. I want our guys to be excellent in the classroom, in the community, and obviously on the baseball field. And then S, selfless, we over me, execute your role. You know, it takes 35 guys to win a national championship. We all got to be pulling on the same end of the rope, and we got to be selfless, and I want our guys to do that. So that's the Pirates' mission.
You know, as you create the Pirates' mission, is there anything that you do in your program, either on a daily or on a weekly basis, that allows you to kind of reinforce and allow your players to grow in the Pirates' mission?
Yeah, we have weekly meetings. You know, we have weekly meetings, and the part of the meeting every week is the mental game. And we go over, you know, these core values, the mission. And, you know, it took us, I guess, 3, 6, 7 weeks for us to get through each letter. And our guys defined it. And then we came up with definitions of each, you know, each letter.
And now one of the things that you're working on is kind of creating like a personal development plan or a growth plan where they've got something that they're looking at, you know, setting a goal each week for them to make sure that, and then they have an accountability partner. If you look in your locker room, there's a board down there. It has a lot of great information, one of which is accountability partners. Could you talk a little bit about the importance of accountability partners and what that really is?
Well, I think it's important that you get to know your teammates, number one, because we are a family. So I like for those guys to go out to lunch at least once a week or go out to dinner, and then hold each other accountable for the three things they're trying to get better at each week. You know, they have on their phones now that what they're going to continue, what they're going to start, what they're going to stop. It's going to pop up on their phone, so their accountability partners can help them with that as far as making sure that they're doing those things and being very excellent.
You talk about living kind of a lifestyle of excellence, and as we look at your library here, as we're in your office in East Carolina, we've got some tremendous books. You got Toughness by Jay Billis. You got The Energy Bus. You got The Lone Survivor. You got Tony Dungy, Uncommon Life, Mitch Albom, Mitch Albom books. You got Coach Wooden's books. You got, you know, the Mental Conditioning Manual, The Daily Dominator, Champions Tell All, Life is Yours to Win, The Power of Now. You've got The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. Some tremendous books over there. What do you do, Cliff, to keep sharpening the sword, man? I mean, you've been around some of the best programs in the country. You've been to Omaha 2008 with LSU, Omaha 2014 with Ole Miss. What do you do personally to keep yourself sharp and at the top of your game, man?
Well, I'm a very competitive person, you know, since at an early age. I don't know if I was born with it, but my dad was a basketball coach and was all about competing, and I try to compete at something every single day. And part of competing is learning. I mean, you got to stay on top of your game. You got to keep learning. If you're not learning, you're dying. And I think that has helped me throughout my career as far as just to continue to educate myself on whether it be hitting, catching, you know, the mental game, whatever it is, to read books and to keep trying to get better.
Is there anything else that you do to kind of keep that growth process going for you besides reading books? Like, are you a, you know, some coaches that we've talked to, they talk about going online and watching a TEDx video on YouTube, or they might call Success Hotline, or you know, they will engage in conversation and call and interview one coach in a topic area. It might even be in a different sport, you know, once a month. Is there anything else that you do besides, you know, just reading the great books you have in your library that can help you to continue to grow?
Well, I lean on all those people that I've worked for. Number one, I've worked for two head coaches who have won national championships, three who have been to Omaha. So I lean on those guys a whole lot as far as what they're doing and how they're trying to get better. And then there's six or seven guys who I played with here at East Carolina that are Division I coaches at very high levels. So we're some of the best friends in the entire world, and we lean on each other for ideas and how we can get better.
Talk to me a little bit about the mental game. You know, now having worked at Ole Miss, but there's been a mental game system in place for a while, and now at East Carolina, getting that going here in year one as a head coach. What is the mental game to you, and what are the essential components?
The number one thing, you got to focus on what you can control. I know that sounds cliche-ish, but in baseball, you can't control yourself getting a hit, but you can control yourself having a quality at bat. We talk about winning pitches, bringing energy and effort every single day. All these things you can control. You can't control, if the umpire makes a bad call. You can't control the weather. You can't control necessarily how the coach feels about you that day. But you can control, your energy, your effort, your attitude, your body language, all those things. And I want our guys to focus on what they can control.
One of the things I think that's been most impressive, just knowing you now for the last, 4 years, has been how simply you're able to define what it means to have a quality at bat, and then how relentless you are in reinforcing that every day. And I don't know if I've ever once heard you say batting average. And could you talk a little bit about quality at bat and why you put such a big emphasis on that?
Well, batting average is evil. We talk about that because you can't control it. You can't control yourself getting a hit. You can make bad contact and get a hit, and then you can line out and do everything right and it not be a hit. So I want our guys to focus on being run producers, either scoring runs or being RBI guys. But we have our quality at bat chart defined. And that can be defined in many ways, but just a couple is, if you get a walk, that's a quality at bat. If you see four or more pitches after 0-2, quality at bat. RBI with less than two outs with the runner at third base, quality at bat. If you line out at somebody, quality at bat. So I want our guys to be in that mindset that they're focusing on what they can control. They're focusing on winning pitches. They're not focusing on the result that they can't control. And, I think it's worked out well for us everywhere I've been.
Last question for you, Coach, would be – well, two more questions. But what's last night, inter-squad scrimmage, and I don't know if I've seen a team play with more energy than you guys had last night in the first year for a head coach. And, this early into the fall, I think you guys are just wrapping up your first week of practice. Talk about dugout participation and the difference between kind of dugout intent and dugout noise and why that's important for your program.
Well, dugout noise would just be chatter, the rah-rah kind of stuff. And dugout intent is, when a pitcher's picking over one of your players, you're saying, back! If one of our hitters, does a check swing, no, he didn't. Being very specific, and it keeps the guys in the dugout engaged in the baseball game. And it makes them learn the game. If they're just in the dugout, not paying attention and just chatter, then they're not going to, be learners. They're just going to be sitting there and wasting time. So I want our guys to be locked in. And the most important thing for me and our players right now is learning how to play the game the right way. And that's as fast as possible. We want to put them in uncomfortable situations, have them flying around the field, because our practices want to be a lot harder than the games. If we can speed it up as much as possible, I know Chip Kelly does this at, for the Eagles and did it at Oregon for years, but we want to make them uncomfortable by the speed of play, and then we can slow it back down when we actually play the real games when the spring rolls around.
And by speeding them up in practice, you give them that kind of point of reference where they're able to know, all right, I was moving too fast. I need to be able to slow the game down so that red light or that getting out of control happens in the fall here instead of waiting until the spring for it to go down.
No, I mean, we pulled them up last night, and you were talking about how you want level 10 energy when you're running on the field, when you're communicating on the field, but the guy that's standing on the mound, he needs to be at level 3. He needs to be in the zone. He needs to clear the mechanism. The guy that when he steps into the box and clears the box out, he's got to be in the zone, because when things are slow for those individuals, they're in green lights. When things are really fast, and we had some freshman pitchers last night where the game got out of control, I mean, that's normal, and they didn't know how to slow it down. So they got to have those mechanisms to be able to slow the game, step off, release, get in green lights, so then they can get back up on the mound and execute the pitch.
My second trip back to East Carolina here, and I had no idea how awesome the facilities were and what the culture was like. I think until you get here, you don't realize the excellence that is East Carolina. And last time I was here, you gave me a copy of the Keith LeClair story, coaching third, and read the book on the plane on the way home, sitting there, crying on the plane, reading the book home, and everybody, wondering just how, not having known Keith myself, But in the book, he talks about how he worked with Bill Currier, who's a guy I played for at the University of Vermont. You know, he talks about his relationship with Jack Leggett, who is part of the reason why I got a scholarship to go play at the University of Vermont. And I know that you and Bakich, who, you know, are two good friends of mine, played for him. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, Coach LeClaire and his impact on you? And I know you guys, you and Eric, you know, wear number 23 when you're coaching. And then about using the book with your team and why you thought that would be important.
Well, number one is the reason I'm sitting here as the head baseball coach at East Carolina is because of Coach LeClaire. You know, the reason I wanted to make sure the administration was committed to winning at the highest level, because it wouldn't be fair to Coach LeClaire or any of the guys I played for. Because the guys I played with from 1998 to 2001 built the stadium that we're sitting here now. See, we were number one season regionals, but we had to go on the road because we were pretty much playing at a high school field. And our teams built this facility. And the best way I could sum up Coach LeClaire is he took a group of individuals and made them believe that they were the best. Now, it was through a lot of hard work and physically and mentally challenging us every single day. But when we stepped out on that field, we weren't the most talented. But we believed that we could beat anybody on any given single day. And that's what he instilled in us. That's what I want to instill in our players. And I want to get the Pirate Baseball program back on the national stage like we were when we were playing here.
You know, in the book, Coaching Third, which I think anybody who's a baseball fan, anyone who especially who's a baseball coach, it's an absolute must read. You know, Bethany Bradshaw, the Keith LeClaire story, Coaching Third. How are you using that with your team, and why is that important this year?
I want the guys to know the history of the program. I want to know I want them to understand the teams that I played on, you know, what we brought to the table. And I told them the other night in the room, I said, there's more talent sitting in here than there was on that 0-1 team that I played on. You know, we didn't have one guy that threw 90 miles an hour on that team, and we were considered the sixth best team in the country. We didn't have one guy on our team that ran a 6.66 60. But anybody who played us didn't want to play us because we were pretty daggone good. And I want our guys to know the history. I want them to know about Coach LeClaire. You know, the number 23 is very special. Like you said, Eric and I and several other guys who are throughout college baseball wear it in honor of him. Luckily for me, I've been able to wear it out in Omaha twice, once with Ole Miss, once with LSU. And I know Coach LeClaire was looking down on me then. But I want our guys to know the history and really understand what Coach LeClaire was all about.
Awesome. Well, Cliff, I appreciate you taking time to sit down and share some of your wisdom with us here. If there's, you know, players out there that are interested in coming and getting a little bit of an East Carolina baseball experience, whether it be coming to a camp or coaches that want to come out here when you guys put on a coach's clinic, what's the best way for people to kind of follow you, whether it be, you know, on Twitter or somewhere online, or if people want more information about your camps, how do they go about getting that?
You know, you can follow me on Twitter, cGodwin23, you know, for information on the Pirates program. My baseball camps is pretty simple, cliffgodwinbaseballcamp.com. And, you know, if there's any specific questions, you can always email me at godwinc14@ecu.edu. And I'm always looking to help people out because along the way, a lot of people have helped me out. And I wouldn't be here, sitting here today, if it wasn't for a lot of great help, a lot of great mentors, and a lot of great friends.
Awesome. Thanks, Cliff. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Kaden.
Thanks for listening to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. Please make sure that you visit briankane.com. That's briankain.com. And sign up for my Monday message, where every Monday I deliver straight to your inbox videos, interviews, articles, tips, techniques, and strategies that you can use to master the mental game. You can also contact me through my website on our Contact Us page and see my calendar of where I'm going to be in the country and when I'm coming to your area, so that we can get together and that we can continue to go out there and dominate the day.
The Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast is part of the Top Coach Network. This is a production of Corn Belt Sports.